following podcast is hashtag Boone approved. It's time for another edition of the Brett Boone Podcast.
Remember when me and you almost went to blows? Lou sent me down three times too, so I know what you're talking about.
With your host, MLB All-Star, Brett Boone.
Bottom line is, you will become a successful major league hitter by hitting pitchers' mistakes.
As he sits down with his sports and entertainment friends from around the world.
You are not going to be a successful major league hitter if you hit pitchers' pitches.
This isn't just any former jocks podcast.
To change the outcome, you got to change the income. You got to change what goes in. Then that changes what goes out.
Often duplicated, but never replicated. Just like his bat flip.
Okay, now the party starts. The responsibility starts now.
Now in its fourth year, this is the one and only Brett Boone Podcast.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I'm Brett Boone. Today I'm joined by a friend of the program, and he's got the Mets rolling, headed to the NLCS. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome the Mets skipper, Carlos Mendoza. Just had him on recently. Carlos, thanks for coming back on.
Thanks for having me, Booney. What an honor. Yeah, here we are, man. You know,
it's been fun watching you. You know, I'm getting into this, Carlos, as I get a little bit older. You know, when I was a kid or in my playing days, you know, I watched, if I wasn't in the postseason, I'd casually watch it, but I didn't really care. I was pissed I wasn't there. But now, as an analyst, as a fan, I really enjoy it, man. There's a lot of exciting series, all four of them. It just, I keep watching. It's like, what's going to happen tonight? You guys got it done yesterday. June 1st. I'm going to go back to June 1st. And I looked up the record. I think it was something like 24-33. Did you, in your wildest dreams, your first year as a skipper, think we'd be talking right now? You're headed to the NLCS.
Man, I didn't want to get too far ahead of myself at the time. You know, I was just trying to figure, you know, with the coaches and David Stearns, the front office, we were just trying to figure out how can we get better? You know, like the record was the record, but we needed to be better. And he started with the players, that famous team meeting that Lindor called. And like I've been saying it, I'm not a big fan of team meetings because you could say whatever you want. It's just the follow-up. Are you going to follow up and back up your words, you know? And that's what they did. They not only call each other out, but they follow up with their actions. And that's how we approach it here too. You know, it was – we didn't want to, like I said, we didn't want to get too far ahead. It was like, what can we do to win today's day? Not necessarily today's game, but today's day, whether it was process, whether it's like, let's win here in the locker room. Let's win in the training room. Let's win in the weight room. Let's win in player development. Let's win on our decision making. That was basically the approach. How can we get better as a whole? And it started clicking, man. It was like one day at a time mentality. And we knew we had good players and we knew we had great people. So it was a matter of time for our superstars to stop playing to their capabilities. We needed to get healthy and we added some pieces, you know, and before you know it, we started clicking. They, you know, the locker room was unbelievable. And look, man, he started playing baseball. We started having fun. We started preparing. And here we are.
You know, I think you hit it on the head right there when you said, you know, these team meetings. Yeah, it's, you know, we've both been in a million team meetings. And guys, some guys get up and kind of lose the room. Some guys get up and say something kind of relevant. But it's more about on the field getting it done. And it's not with words. And usually there's only so much you can do as the skipper. There's only the players have to do it. They've got to go out and get it done. And you know that from being a player. It's like it don't matter what my manager tells me. You know, if I don't go out there and change things, it doesn't matter what he says. You know, and when I play good, man, he's a really good skipper. And when I play like shit, man, sucks. Fire that son of a gun.
That's right.
So you know that going in, being a player. So there's only so much you can do, and it just kind of steer, be the rotor to that ship.
Yeah, like you said, man, it comes down to players executing. It comes down to players policing themselves, holding each other accountable. Yes, we always want to create that accountability, you know, and me as a manager. But it comes down to the players, man. I'm blessed to have a really good coaching staff as well that made things a lot easier for me, and they stayed positive. They had my back when it was hard. But I'm telling you, man, it's just the quality of the people that I got in that room. Not only they really good players, they're great players, but they are great people. And that's what makes things a lot easier for me. So proud of every single one of them. We've been through a lot of adversity. We've been through a lot. But here we are, and we will continue to have fun. We will continue to just take it one day at a time mentality and see what happens.
I'll tell you what, I got to admit, you get to the All-Star break, and, you know, I got an eye on you guys. I kind of, you know, in my way, I'm pulling for you guys too. But as an analyst, I got to sit down and I got to see what's going on in the game. You get to the All-Star break, I'm not even talking about the Mets. I said, you know, this is going to be, hopefully they can finish good, but this isn't their year. They're not going to the postseason. All of a sudden, we get to September, and here come the Mets. And it wasn't just you guys. I'm looking at the Tigers and the Royals, all teams that have got to the postseason, that there was nobody that could look at the numbers and look at the team at the All-Star break and said, oh, yeah, these three are going to the postseason. All of a sudden, you guys flipped the script, and all of a sudden you have a huge September. And that leads me into the weather at the end of the year. So I see what happens to you guys. Your games gets canceled. You have to go to Atlanta, the final two games, depending on the situation. It's a doubleheader. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that, where two teams, if one team gets swept, the Arizona Diamondback gets in. If you split, you know, you both get in. I've never seen a scenario like that where, okay, they've got to play game one. Whoever wins game one, you know, you want to go celebrate, but no, we've got game two. But you as a skipper, that game one's unbelievable. That was like a World Series, the greatest game of all time. You know, you're down 3-0, you're up 6-3, you're down 7-3, you hit the big home run, you win 8-7. So it's like a big postseason moment. Wait a minute. We got game two. Now, if there was nothing on the line for the Atlanta Braves or the Arizona Diamondbacks, you can kind of mail it in and play a B game, B spring training game. But now you're in a position where, wait a minute. Okay, my goal as the Met, well, I'm just setting it up. Tell me if I'm right. Tell me if I'm wrong. I would be thinking, the most important thing, I'm in. Our team's in. I've got to get these guys ready for the postseason. I got to set up my rotation. I want my bullpen guys ready for game one of that first series. But at the same time, I've got to keep somewhat the integrity of the game because the Arizona Diamondbacks are watching me right now. I can't just mail that in, you know, so you're kind of in a catch 22. How did you, after game one, how did you go into game two? What was that thought process?
Yeah, and 100%, because you talk about the integrity of the game, and I don't want to be in their shoes. You know, baseball's crazy, and one year you're in this position, the next year, who knows where you're going to be? You could be in that same position, right? So I wanted it, you know, treat it like this is another important game. Also understanding that I needed to save some of my bullpen arms for the next day, which, by the way, is game one of the playoff, you know. But when you look at the lineup that we put out there for game two, a lot of our starters play. I think Lindor was the only one because at the time he was still dealing with the back, and he wanted to play. And so I got to give them credit, and you got to give the Braves a lot of credit too, because after that tough loss, an unbelievable game one, like you say, playoff game felt like, and they go out there and they have to get it done. So, that's how we treated it. That's how we approach it. Like, hey man, like we got to go out there and we got to compete. We got to be hard on them because there's another team watching us right now. So, and the whole world is watching us. So, and it was a well-played game. Joey Lucchesi went out there and gave us, I think it was six. And then, you know, we ended up losing 3-0, I think it was. But, again, man, after that unbelievable game one, to continue to maintain that intensity and, you know, the compete and just – go out there and play a big league game, you know, a meaningful game, and we went out there and did it. Tough spot for the Diamondbacks. That's a really, really good team there. I think they ended up winning 89 games, and you know that's how the league is getting better. That tells you win 89 games and you're not making the playoff. That's man, that's tough, you know. So it goes to show you how much better the National League is getting. So there's a lot of good teams out there, and here we are.
Yeah, I thought it was the parity is getting better throughout. I mean, a lot more teams are involved that I think have been in recent years. In proof in the pudding is nobody won 100 games this year in either league.
That's right.
So the parity is much better. There were a lot more teams in it for a lot longer. And then game two, Atlanta's got their Cy Young going, and all of a sudden he's scratched with back spasms, and he ended up not being a part of that Braves postseason either. But all right, you get to the postseason, you beat the Brewers. Brewers, good team. Good team. You beat them, and then you go to the almighty Phillies, who on paper are pretty darn good, Carlos. You know that. They're in your division. You play them all year. Real formidable pitching staff. When I'm looking at pitching staffs in the postseason, Phillies are right up there with as good as anybody, with Wheeler, Nola, Sanchez, and Suarez. But you guys take it to them, and you match. I mean, you got Severino, and Manaea comes up huge in that Phillies series. The last day, Quintana matches Suarez, who is both tremendous. And it just seems, you know, I've been watching this whole process, and I just said, the Mets have one of those things right now. I can't point to it. Nobody can. It's just kind of that it. It's kind of the players in the dugout, the teams I've been on, similar to what I'm seeing with the Mets right now.
Yeah,
it's a look, it's a glance, it's a hey. When you're down, it's not the end of the world. It's hey, we're gonna get them because we've done that. That's a pretty cool ambiance to have in that dugout.
It is a good feeling. And look, we like you say, that game against the Braves, you know, one of the craziest game I ever been a part of, right? And 2-3 days later, you know, we can talk about that game three and the Pete Alonso swing. You know, when we're facing elimination, you know, it's game three of the wild card and we're down two and we're about to face one of the best closers in the league in Williams. And the whole time I'm thinking, let's get Pete Alonso up to the plate here. Let's give the big boy a chance. Lindor gets on, Nemo gets a single, and then Pete, three-run homer. Like, we just went through a moment against Atlanta a few days ago, and here we are matching that, you know, or topping that. Like, it was unbelievable, but it was a good feeling in the dugout. That Brewers team, man, that they are really, really good. Not only they can pitch, their bullpen is unbelievable, but they control the strike zone, they play defense, they run the bases, they athletic. Like, they're not joke, you know. There's a reason why they won that division the way they did it. And then for us to just winning that series there in Milwaukee was huge. And then we get to the Phillies. You know, we got to go to Philly. And I'm telling you, I've been into a lot of playoff games, whether it's Yankee Stadium, whether it's Houston, whether it's Boston. Philly is no joke. I mean, that was loud. And then we go out there and we beat Wheeler, who was very, very nasty on game one. Our guys step up big time, you know, whether it was Senga, whether it was Peterson. Then game two, we lost that second one. Sevy was really good. And, like, the Phillies are really good, man. Their lineup is deep. They got experience. They got great hitters. Their pitching staff is unbelievable. Their rotation, their bullpen, and somehow we got to them too. We're doing a lot of things the right way as a team. You know, our lineup is deep. We can beat you in so many different ways, whether it's by getting on base, by putting the ball in play, by hitting the ball out of the ballpark, just understanding the situation. And our guys are doing a hell of a job of that. And, man, I'm proud of the whole group. And here we are now waiting to see who we're going to play on the NLCS. But it's exciting, and it's exciting time for the Mets.
Your boy, Uncle Aaron, he's calling right now. We don't have time for him. We don't have time for him. We'll do him later.
That's right. You got to get him.
You know, it's really cool, too. And I'm going back to the team concept and the players and that confidence that you have. And it's not from an arrogant standpoint. It's not ego-driven. It's driven by success and doing it and playing in these big-time games. And when you're down and you're out, coming back and clipping that other team. That's where that look in the dugout, that feeling in the dugout, that you're never out of it. And you don't have that every year. That's a special thing that you have. I mean, you'd love to have it every year, but some years, you know, hey, we're going to get them and you never get them. You know, you've been on teams. I've been on teams like that. But this one seems to be pretty darn special. This is the first time you've had a break, really, since I don't know when the last time. You got these 3 days off. What's it look like for you? What are you and your team doing on these 3 days getting ready for the next round? And you don't even know your opponent yet.
Yeah, so we're about to have a workout here. So we got some guys that are going to throw off the mound. We got hitters that are going to face some of our guys. And then we'll do the same tomorrow. We'll have a workout in the morning, and then we'll fly out to the West Coast. Not sure where we're going, obviously. We don't know. Got to wait for that game tonight. But, yeah, just keeping guys getting some treatment because we need it these days, man. Like, we've been through a lot of traveling, intense games, and it's just we're taking full advantage of these 2 days that we got here. But guys will come in, get treatment, play catch, go through the workout, hit on the field, get ground balls, and then we'll go from there. So we'll be ready to go Sunday.
It's been pretty awesome, too, watching your two big guys, your veteran guys. The stars on that team are Lindor and Alonso, and they both come up big so far in the postseason. You mentioned a couple names, but also Vientos and Nimmo and Marte. You know, I watch Marte as a right-handed hitter, and I go, I like this guy's approach right now. I like how he looks in the box. He's got some big hits. It's been everybody. Winker, I'll tell you what. Is Winker okay? He looks like a psychopath. But
I'm not going to lie. You hate him when you're on the other side of the dugout, but when you're on the other side, yeah, man, like, holy cow, this guy's intense. He cares. He gets, like, and he's prepared, and he wants to win, you know, and, like, that's what you want, you know. You want guys that are hungry, and then they want to go out there, and they want to beat you, you know, and that's Winker.
All right, who have you heard from? Seinfeld called you yet?
No. A lot of people, man. Like, what an honor. It's humbling. It's humbling how many text calls that people throughout the industry, family members, like, that you have no idea. And it's just, like I said, a humbling experience to getting so many texts and phone calls from a lot of different people. So, it's an honor.
You guys will be watching tonight another tough series, whoever it may be. You know, whether it's the Dodgers or the Padres, I've been watching them all year, especially the Padres. I live in San Diego.
They're a good team, man. They're both tough. They can pitch. Holy cow, that bullpen is no joke.
That bullpen's great. Really good players on the field. You know, they're a little short with Musgrove being out. Cease hasn't pitched as good as he's pitched all year. Yu Darvish has pitched great. We'll see how he does tonight.
Yeah, Michael King right there too.
Michael King's he's become a star. I think one day he's going to be a Cy Young. He's going to win a Cy Young one year. And then on the Dodger side, you know, you've got that unbelievable lineup. They're a little short on their starting pitching. You know, the Glasnows of the world. Kershaw's out for the postseason. Yamamoto's been beat up. But Flaherty, Buehler, and Yamamoto are those guys. And I look more to that offense. The Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, Teoscar, Hernandez. That's going to be.
Yeah, that lineup is no joke. And their bullpen is good, too.
So, yeah. You guys watch it. You guys watch it tonight?
Oh, well, for sure, 100%, I'll be watching.
And I know those the way you guys are feeling. It's like, you know, we know they're both tough, but bring it on, whoever it is. We got to handle business.
We'll do it.
All right, man. Carlos, I appreciate it. I wish you all the best. I'll be watching. You know,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got it. And for those of you watching the Brett Boone podcast now on YouTube, if you're not, check it out. For those of you listening on the Odyssey app or wherever you download your podcast. Until next time, keep it here.